Israel learned a lot about God. And one of the things they learned was His mercy. And that has been a characteristic of the Jewish people when they are who they really are, that they're honest. They know that they sin. And they don't usually make excuses. And the reason for that is they got to know God. Now, as the other reason is, I mean, the other aspect is how they can praise one another. That's the foundation why they have long, you know, Hasidim, you know, although they dance and sing and walk around dancing with the Torah on the feast of Simchat Torah, because of this. Now, I want to look just for a few minutes at this this text from Micah. You see, already intimations of the way God is. Now, this goes beyond anything that we are able to think. That God is mercy. Pope John Paul II said in his encyclical letter, which would be a great thing to read, Rich in Mercy, Dives in Misericordia, I think it's called Rich in Mercy, whatever, you know the way I mean. He said, John Paul said, Jesus' messianic consciousness consisted in this, that He was to show to the world the mercy that the Father has. Show to the world the mercy that the Father is. That was His greatest driving force, why He went to the cross. The world must know that I love the Father, and that exactly as He commanded me that I do, I go to the cross to pour out His mercy. So here's Micah already. These are the last lines in the prophecy of Micah, by the way. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance. Now notice the intimacy. It isn't God, and here we're down here, and you're God. We are your inheritance. We're your people. Now, we really deserve this. Of course we don't. This was God's choice. John Paul II says somewhere, we Catholics, we have been given the fullness of revelation, the whole of the apostolic heritage, and we will be held responsible for it. We have been privileged. Have we answered? At least we should preach His mercy. We were privileged and we blew it, and He still has mercy on us. And let the whole world know that much anyway. That dwells apart in a woodland in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days when you came from the land of Egypt. Show us wonderful signs. Help us. And now we have this prayer. And you could take this home. You got it home in the Bible. Who is there like you? The God who removes guilt and pardons sin. For the remnant of his inheritance again. Who's like you? Who does this? Now, this is a metaphysical question. This is not just an emotional question. Who is God? We're well aware of evil. We do it all day. Who is God who forgives us? And finally, becomes man and dies in an act of love, being tortured to death, so that we will be free of the consequences of our own evil. Who is this God? This is the God we proclaim to the world. Right now, I'm in the process of organizing another Islamic conversation, and it's on repentance and forgiveness in the Islamic and in the Catholic tradition. And so we're pondering this, huh? And we're looking at examples. I'm getting a bibliography ready. I'm looking at examples. Look at South Africa. My understanding is that when the Mandela and the rest took over, everybody on the police force got a chance to acknowledge that they had done wrong and to ask forgiveness. And if they did, they kept their job. No problem. If they didn't, they had to step aside. That's what Pope John Paul II calls purification of memory. Our sins weigh on us. Now you see the genius of the sacrament of reconciliation. Everybody wishes they had one. And this is not just, you know, a human act. This is Jesus Christ forgiving in this sacrament. The power of this thing to purify our memories by acknowledging guilt. What a great gift. And it's a gift. We can't even get that far. So who is like you who removes guilt and pardons sin for the remnant of his inheritance? Who does not persist in anger forever, but delights rather, and now we're going to have, you know, vocabulary problems. Inclemency. Clemency, no, it's rachamim. Mercy. Racham, it evokes the notion, whether it comes from the word rechem, which means womb or not, we'll leave, the philologists are still arguing. But certainly in the popular mind, it registers like womb. It's the mercy that a mother has for the child of her womb. That's God's mercy. And it's applied in Psalm 103, which is probably one of the lines we quoted here. As a father has mercy, it's not. As a father has mercy on his children, that's rechem. It's this thing. He will again have compassion on us, treading underfoot our guilt. You will cast into the depth of the sea all our sins. All our sins. Trying, the Word of God, striving to give us an idea what reality is like. You will show faithfulness. And here again, this is emet. You will show truth. Truth is what abides, what doesn't change. You never change. You will show that emet, that kind of truth. These are usually translated grace and truth. Chesed and emet. And grace, chesed. You promised, you never go back on your word. Why does he promise? Because he knows how weak and stupid and suspicious we are. And so, I ask forgiveness. Gee, I hope I get it, you know. That's how little we know about God. And God said, look, I promise, okay? Promise. And I cannot go back on my promise. I am truth. I promise. I promise to be faithful to my covenant. This covenant, this is my the new covenant in my blood. I promise. As Hesed, I enthusiastically live out the obligations I have taken on myself. And I obliged myself to be merciful to you. I didn't have to do that. I'm merciful. I did that to calm your poor little fears and your egomania. Did you think I'm like you? So, as you have sworn to our fathers from days of old, you promised. But that promise is sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. The greatest grace we can ask for is to really see our true reality before God. Our true reality before God. The evil of it will scare the bejeebers out of us. We have no idea how bad our situation is. We have no idea who God is, and therefore we have no idea what sin is. But that's not the way we see it. We see it through the eyes of the mercy of Jesus Christ. Because that's the whole truth. That's the whole truth. And that's what sets us free. There's nothing more to happen. I can't see any worse than I've seen. And it's forgiven. It's treated with mercy. This is what frees me up. And now, by golly, if that's what he does for me, that's what I've got to do for everybody else. And like Jesus, my consciousness has to be filled with the desire, the obligation, to let the world know how merciful the Father is. Think of the self-hate in this world today, which comes from guilt. And it's covered over with wine, booze, sex, power, lust, whatever. But what's driving it all is fear and self-hate. Since I can't stand it, I'll beat up on somebody else instead of trying to beat up on myself because I can't take it. Why are most people afraid to come back to God? He's going to clobber me because I deserve it. And you do. Who is God? That's the question that the Lord wants to give into the depth of our spirit so that when they see us, they see Christ. That's what it means to preach the gospel.